one of the themes of your talks is getting to know your Catholic faith. That's what you do. You're an apologist. You explain and teach to people. Why do you think the Catholic Church has got into a position where we now need a whole, we need ex-Protestants to tell us, us cradle Catholics about our faith?
Yeah, I think it's the perennial problem in the church, you know, and especially at times like these in the modern era where we in the Western world and in Australia have experienced such a time of prosperity and peace. You know, during World War II, folks were on their knees praying. You know, I always say that when Adolf Hitler's breathing down your neck, it helps your prayer life, you know. But in times of prosperity and peace, we tend to forget God, or even if we don't forget God, there's not that level of intensity to where God is always on the forefront of our minds and we're digging deeper, so to speak. And so, you know, from time to time in the church, throughout history, we need a wake-up call. And I think in the Western world, especially post-Vatican II, say the last 40, 50 years, I think we've drifted a bit. But through the wonderful popes we've had and princes of the church like Cardinal Pell you have right here, you know, I think the church is being guided back. And certainly the converts have something to say about it. You know, we're coming in the church excited and fired up, and we have a role to play. But I do really think that the pendulum is moving the other direction. If the post-conciliar Catholic culture kind of moved a bit, if I could use a political term, to the left, you know, the pendulum is swinging back. And I think there's a movement, you know, World Youth Day. Our popes have done an incredible job in exciting the youth, and movements in general around the world, I think, are spurring a real renewal, a grassroots renewal. Apologetics has a role to play in that, because whenever you have a renewal going on, people are going to ask the questions, you know, why? When they get excited about the Lord, well, they want to know Him. It's one thing to be emotional and say, I love my Catholic faith, but, you know, the will can only choose that which the intellect presents to it, and so eventually we need to know the whys, and I think that's why apologetics, and we converts in particular, have something to say today.
One of the, and I think we've touched on it a bit here, but it's been a reoccurring theme of Pope Benedict, is to speak out against secularism and modernism in Australia. It seems that Catholics are not anymore in Australia leaving in large numbers for Protestant churches. That doesn't seem... I think we've exhausted probably.
Right.
It's either a case of Catholics are there and are just losing their faith altogether. Right. Many are uninterested. I'm sure that you probably know people, but I certainly know people, friends, who've just walked away. Even the strongest of people, they get to a point, they hit a point. How do you think we should get the message better out there about our faith, get people interested in it again, and this, I guess what you would call it, just this disinterest in the Catholic faith, get them interested again?
Right, well, I think it begins with the wise words of our first pope, St. Peter, in 1 Peter 3:15. When he says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts always and be ready to give everyone a reason for the hope that lies within you, with meekness and with respect. I mean, that says a lot right there. I think from top to bottom, we need to be challenged. I encourage the bishops, priests, preach it from the pulpit, you know, that challenge Catholics to know why. It's not enough just to believe. We need to know why we believe what we believe. We have to teach our children, you know, because if we don't, when they go to the university, they're going to get the other side. They're going to be challenged. They'll be challenged by the Baptist down the street. They'll be challenged by a secular culture. They're going to be challenged intellectually. And I think, you know, in the last 50 years or so, we hadn't done a real good job in preparing our kids apologetically. But that's changing. I think the key to excitement in the lives of young people is apologetics. You know, we have, and I would add too, some of the chastity speakers that we have out there, like Jason Everett, who from Catholic Answers, he's one of my guys, we had out here in Australia recently. That's another powerful message that our young people need to hear. But that too is heavily apologetic in nature, you know, giving people reasons why chastity is the answer, you know. But I think on a deeper level, you know, Catholics need to be able to engage the culture where the culture is at. And right now, we have a secular culture, we have the popular atheists, you know, the popular atheist movement with guys like Dawkins and Hitchens, who are out there pumping out propaganda that, while it's intellectually shallow, it's gaining a following. And thank God you've got men like Cardinal Pell who are out there debating the issues. But our young people need to be able to debate those issues. They need to be able to challenge professors at the university that are, you know, sort of mocking the existence of God and things like that. So I think the apologetic that our young people need to learn is much more now than just defending your faith against Protestantism using the Bible. We need to be able to talk to people who don't believe in the Bible, don't believe in God at all. That's going to be the most important area of apologetics going forward in the coming decades. We need to be able to answer what Pope Benedict has called the dictatorship of relativism. That's where the battle is.
And there's a vital point that you picked up on, because with a fundamentalist Protestant, we still have a couple of common issues. We've got sacred scripture, we've got the Trinity, and we've agreed, and I'm sure there's a number of other things you could rattle off where we are similar. Sure. So you've got that common ground. Do you see the study of history as important also to people that they perhaps don't have any grounding in, they don't take the Bible, the Trinity? Do you think history is a vital part?
Absolutely, and on multiple levels. I know in my years serving in the United States Marine Corps, when I went to boot camp, part of the training methodology was every day we had intellectual formation, not just, you know, the physical training the Marines was demanding. But a lot of folks don't realize we had intellectual formation. We had to learn the history of the Marine Corps. Every Marine knows Sergeant Major Dan Daly or Lieutenant Presley O'Bannon or Colonel Chesty Puller. These are Medal of Honor winners. Well, Chesty never got the Medal of Honor. He got everything else. But the other two did. I mean, every Marine knows these and others among the great Marines of our past. Why? Because when you learn about your history, it makes you proud of who you are. You learn your tradition. It makes you want to put that uniform on and stick your chest out and say, I'm proud to be a Marine. Catholics who are ignorant of their own history do not know who they are. And as Pope Leo the Great said it, you know, O Christian, if you but knew who you were, you would not fall back into your former sins. You know, learning who we are as Catholics and how the Church, the Catholic Church, has been the foundation of Western civilization, you know, if you learn that instead of listening to the propaganda that would have you believe the Catholic Church is the most evil institution, you know, the world has ever seen, is absolutely crucial, because kids are hearing the other side when they go to school. And if they don't have the foundation, you know, Psalm 11 verse 3 says, if the foundations are destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Without a foundation in your life, you're going to fall. And so many kids, we have too many testimonies of young people who were altar servers, you know, they were raised in the church, even went to Catholic schools, but they never learned their faith. They go out into the culture, and instead of changing the culture changes them. And they end up, you know, not to list names or anything, but I think both of us could list names of Australians as well as Americans who are Catholics, who get into the public eye and not only deny their faith, but end up working against it.
It's interesting you say that, because I remember when I was involved in my earlier days in the charismatic movement with my dad, and I would want to hang out, I guess, with my secular friends, and I said, oh, well, I'll try and evangelize them. And he would always say, well, make sure they don't evangelize you.
That's right.
And that was, I guess that was, it always made me think, make sure you're not being evangelized by the culture around you.
And, exactly.
And I think for young people, this is, you know, it's just so hard with the visual stimulus, to be anti-cultural is completely hard. It's a tough road, I think, and in some ways is harder.
And yet, I think if you challenge kids, I'll use another Marine Corps analogy. On day one of boot camp, our drill instructors made very plain that they were going to raise a high standard. And if you don't reach that standard, you will not wear the uniform. And a lot of guys did not make it through training, right? But there's a certain sense in which, you know, if you raise the standard, good men will rise to that standard. And I find that in the, you know, this situation we find ourselves in, if you challenge young people intellectually, challenge them spiritually to say, hey, stand up to the young blokes, right? Stand up and act like a man. Challenge them. You need to be different. There's something inside of young people that makes them want to be different. I mean, I look at these kids with holes all over their, you know, in their nose and earrings and nose rings and every other kind of rings, and wearing their gothic black and all of this. To me, that's young people crying out to be holy. Because being holy means being other, radically other. But at the same time, you see these kids that are with all the holes and rings and everything else, they tend to gather with others who are also wearing black and have their hair all punked out and everything else, which shows you also have that innate desire to belong. And so in the church, we have the best of both worlds. We're called to be radically other from the culture, but at the same time, through the sacraments of baptism in particular, but the sacraments in general, we're also joined in a body where we belong, and we're with others like us that are fighting and going against the flow. I think if it's presented in a you know, to you, I'd put quotations around this if I was writing it, but you know, in to put it in radical terms, you know, that Christ is calling you to be radically other is appealing to young people. But if you dumb down the message, you know, and just have the kids finger painting and you know, navel gazing, yeah, instead of really challenging them intellectually, you're going to lose them. So I, you know, my suggestion is, let's raise the standard, and these young people will rise to the standard.